Hey, welcome to the program. It's Gary Zimak. Great to be back with you here on Blog Talk Radio. You know what? I am extra excited today because it looks like the audio problems are behind us. And I really, again, I want to thank you for your patience with this. As we continue on with our total consecration, I was able to get a hold of some new recording software. And again, you know, that costs money, so I thank you for your donations. I really appreciate it. I am going through with this. I am doing the best that I can to make sure that you make your total consecration. And oftentimes, that requires a little bit of creativity. So thank you very much for your patience. I think the show is sounding a lot better now. And we're going to be continuing today with, let's see, what day are we in? Day 24 of our total consecration preparation. Day 24 out of 33. Today is Tuesday. We have Wednesday and then Thursday. And that will conclude our week spent looking at the life of the Blessed Mother. And I thought, and I really believe this is an inspiration of the Holy Spirit, one of the best things that we can do is to look at her words in Scripture. And again, I wrote a book about this, listen to your Blessed Mother Mary's words in Scripture. But rather than read word for word from the book, you know, if you want to read more about it, feel free. I think it would be a great help for you. The book can be purchased through my website, followingthetruth.com. or on any online bookseller. But I thought I would just want to go open the Bible up and really focus on Mary's words and what she said. And what she said really tells us a lot about her. Last time on the program, we looked at the Magnificat, Mary's words, Mary's response to her cousin Elizabeth. When Elizabeth praised Mary, what did Mary do? Mary turned the praise back to the Lord. And this gives us a really strong insight as to the way she is, as to the way she operates. I want to thank you for your support. You've been fantastic. I think this is the best year ever in terms of not losing people. I think we hit on something here. And again, I'm giving the Holy Spirit the credit for this one. The fact that we're going without a book this year, I think it keeps the presentation a little bit more fresh, a little bit more dynamic, so that we don't get tied into a certain sense of comfort. We don't want this total consecration, either preparation or renewal, whatever it is for you, to become so comfortable that we begin taking it for granted. And that's really easy to happen. So we want to avoid that, and that's why I'm trying to do things the way I'm doing things. The Holy Spirit has changed my course of direction with this a couple of times, even after I started. But I'm going to continue to follow Him because He's gotten me this far. I think He's going to do a great job in getting us through to completion. Where are we headed? We're headed to the big day of October the 7th, which is the day that we will make or renew our total consecration. And as I've said before, I'll say it again here, if you have any questions, email me at gary@followingthetruth.com. I know that I'm behind on my emails. I'm going to try to catch up today. I thank you for your comments. I thank you for your questions. I am going to try to get back to you as soon as I can. But continue to send the questions to me, gary@followingthetruth.com. The questions you may have, I know that you may be having some doubts. I know that you may be discouraged. These are all typical things that happen when you go through something like total consecration. Is this really right for me? Am I doing a good enough job? How's this going to affect my future? Am I making a mistake? Contact me at gary@followingthetruth.com. Let's talk about it. I don't want you to quit for the wrong reason. I have no problem with you quitting if you feel this isn't right for you. I'm not going to force you to do this. And that's why, you know, if the Blessed Mother doesn't force her way into your life, certainly I'm not going to do it either. So I just don't want you to quit for the wrong reason without at least asking a question first or expressing your concern. I assure you, I've done this for 5 years, and now I'm closing in on 6 years of doing this total consecration. I think I've heard just about every question in the book, more or less, or some variation of it, because these questions that I see each year are very common. And in fact, St. Louis addresses some of these questions himself. Gary@followingthetruth.com. While I'm at it, I want to remind you that I would love to speak at your parish if you want me to talk about growing close to Jesus, overcoming anxiety, getting to know the Blessed Mother, discerning God's will for your life. These are all topics that I speak about frequently. If you go to followingthetruth.com, which is my website, you'll see video samples of my talks. You'll see examples of the talks that I give. I want to come out to your parish, and I want to fire up your parishioners. get them to really appreciate Jesus Christ and how he's real and wants to work in their life. That's my job. That's what I want to do. So send me an email, gary@followingthetruth.com, or just visit my website, followingthetruth.com, and take a look at what I have to offer and know that I want to come to speak at your parish. Okay, today we are going to discuss Mary, what the incident known as the finding in the temple. Mary and Joseph, they managed to lose Jesus. And I want to look at Mary's words, and I think what happened in this incident is going to give us a lot more insight into the way the Blessed Mother thinks and the way she acts. And this will help us to have more confidence in her and turn our lives over to her, trusting that she'll lead us to Jesus. But as we do each day, let's start with our prayer, the invocation of the Holy Spirit. To put it in layman's terms, we're asking the Holy Spirit to help us with this process, to remove any preconceived notions we have about what what we'll be discussing today, and to really remind ourselves that the Holy Spirit is in charge of our spiritual growth during this 33-day preparation period. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Come, Holy Spirit, fill the hearts of your faithful, and enkindle in them the fire of your love. Lord, send forth your Spirit, and you will renew the face of the earth. O God, who instructs the hearts of your faithful, with the light of your Holy Spirit, make us responsive to his inspirations, so that we may be truly wise and ever rejoice in his consolations, through Christ our Lord. Amen. Our Lady Queen of Peace, pray for us. Good Saint Joseph, pray for us. And Saint Louis de Montfort, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Just to follow up on that prayer, it's so important that we get used to listening to these inspirations of the Holy Spirit. Oftentimes, the Holy Spirit is speaking to us, is giving ideas to us, is guiding us, and saying that we need to do this, we need to do that, we need to avoid doing this other thing. And what happens is we are not used to listening to the Holy Spirit, and we oftentimes ignore his voice in our hearts. He doesn't speak audibly, but he speaks very subtly. And it's easy to ignore him. And we want to make sure that we don't do that. So that's why we pray for him to not only guide us as we go through this preparation for total consecration, but we ask him to help us to hear his voice even better, as Mary did. Don't kid yourself. She was really in tune with the Holy Spirit. And as we go through this story of the finding of the temple, I think that's going to be really obvious. My name is Gary Zimak. We are in the midst of total consecration to Jesus through Mary. In case you're a new listener, listen, even if you haven't started with us, stick around, listen to the program. You'll learn something, and I think it'll help you to draw closer to Jesus Christ. But this is what we're doing right now. I do this in the fall of every year. We take 33 days. We go right through the weekend, and we prepare for our total consecration to Jesus through Mary. This is a very unique approach, especially the way I'm doing it this year. We're not using one particular book, but we're using a number of books, including the book, the Bible, as we'll look at today. We're going to look at the Bible and let our Lord speak in his written word and help us to grow closer to him and to appreciate the Blessed Mother. But normally this show airs Monday through Friday on Blog Talk Radio. You can also get the podcast on TuneIn Radio or on iTunes. It's free of charge, no matter how you do it. And that's one of the reasons I ask for your contributions. I ask for your donations. If you'd like to see this program continue on, I'm nearing my 6th year anniversary. That'll take place in December. And it's because of you. It's because of your financial support. As a full-time Catholic evangelist, it's imperative that I ask for donations. Otherwise, I would not survive. So I want to thank you for your contributions, for sustaining my work. And if you'd like to continue to help me go forward with this, followingthetruth.com is the place to go. Just click on the Donate tab. All right, now, as we continue our week devoted to looking at the Blessed Mother, I want to look at the next episode in her life, really where she speaks. She spoke on 4 occasions in the pages of Sacred Scripture. We're going to look at all of these before the week is out. Last time we looked at the Magnificat, her prayer of praise to the Lord, acknowledging that everything that she has accomplished, or everything that she is in her life, is due to God's goodness. And that's an important thing for us to understand. Mary's not some sort of an egomaniac who has become sinless all by herself. She has done it with the grace of God. And if you look at her words, I think you can learn a lot by looking at somebody's words. If you look at the words of Mary, you'll learn a lot about her personality and give us great, you'll get some great insight into who she really was. And you need to ask yourself this question too. As I said, Mary only spoke on four occasions in sacred scripture. And we believe, as Catholic Christians, that the Bible is the inspired word of God. So everything written down in the Bible was inspired by the Holy Spirit. In other words, the Holy Spirit wanted the various writers to write down what they did. Why is it that God chose these words of Mary, the words that are recorded, to be recorded? That's all he chose. He didn't choose other words because they're not in the Bible. There's a reason. We can learn everything we need to know about Mary through these words. But you need to spend time meditating upon them. You need to spend time really digging into them. And that's what we're going to do today. Finding in the temple, Luke chapter 2, beginning in verse 41. Let's set it up right here. Now, his parents, obviously the parents of Jesus, went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of the Passover. Now, what does that tell you? Right there, that tells you that Mary and Joseph were observant Jews. They observed the law of the Lord. They made the trek to Jerusalem from Nazareth. That wasn't an easy trip. That was difficult, but it tells us that they were devout Jews. And when Jesus was 12 years old, they went up according to custom. And when the feast was ended, as they were returning, the boy Jesus stayed behind in Jerusalem. Now, at this point, Jesus is 12 years old. He's ready to make the trip. He's come of age. He's become a man according to the Jewish faith. He's making the annual trek with them. And what happened when the feast was ended, when Passover was ended, as they were returning, Jesus stayed behind in Jerusalem. His parents did not know it, but supposing him to be in the company, they went a day's journey, and they sought him among their kinsfolk and acquaintances. And when they did not find him, they returned to Jerusalem seeking him. Now let's back up and talk about this for a little bit. It sounds really irresponsible, doesn't it? Mary and Joseph, they lose Jesus. They lose their son, not only their son, but the Savior. I mean, incredible, right? But what you have to understand is, in the day of our Lord, oftentimes the men and the women traveled in separate caravans. So it's entirely possible for Joseph to think that Jesus is with Mary, and Mary to think that Jesus is with Joseph. It's entirely possible. What does that tell you? You know, if you really look at these details in Scripture and don't speed read through them, there's an incredible message here. And of course, we ask the Holy Spirit, every time you read Scripture, it's always a good idea to say, Holy Spirit, enlighten me. Let me know. You inspired this. Let me know what I'm supposed to get out of this. What you see is that Mary and Joseph were incredibly human. They didn't have all of the answers. They could make mistakes. Even though Mary was conceived without original sin and never committed a sin, that didn't mean she couldn't make a mistake. That didn't mean she couldn't be confused. Now, you and I, we should take comfort in that, knowing that Mary was like us. So therefore, she knew what it was like to be confused about the future. She also knew how to handle that, and that's why we want Mary on our side. And we'll talk more about this. Mary did not have all of the answers. So after they went to seek, they were a day's journey away from Jerusalem. They realized Jesus wasn't with them. And what did they do? When they didn't find him, they went back to Jerusalem. Another day not knowing where Jesus was. Now, can you imagine that? If you're a parent, you know what it's like to lose your child momentarily. You also might know what it's like to lose your child in a spiritual sense, because I hear this frequently. My children don't go to Mass anymore. I'm worried about their souls. That's a very uncomfortable feeling, isn't it? So you can imagine what Mary and Joseph were experiencing at this point. Now, Mary being truly humble, what do you think she probably thought? Now, remember, God spoke to her through mystery, much as he speaks to us. He didn't just reassure her of everything, because we can tell that when we look at the questions. But being a humble person, Mary's probably thinking, this is my fault. I messed up. What did I do? I lost my son. So they made the journey back to Jerusalem. Another great point that we can take from this is when they're separated from Jesus, what do? They go to look for him. And that's what you and I are called to do. Do you ever sin? Do you ever sin in a big way? Well, at that point, you're departing from Jesus. You're turning your back on him. Are you anxious to get back in his good graces? And again, if you look at your life and you think, well, you know what? I'm not. I wish I was better at that. Remember, total consecration. That's why we're getting to know Mary. Because we see that she did care. Jesus is not in her midst. And remember also, and Archbishop Fulton Sheen made this point, Mary never sinned. So therefore, this very well could be the Lord allowing her what you and I feel when we sin. That feeling that we've deserted the Lord. That feeling that he's not with us. And again, that feeling is never true. He's always with us. But when we sin, or when we're in the midst of a big problem, we often feel lost. Mary had strong faith. So maybe Mary didn't have this feeling that you and I face sometimes, that, oh no, what am I going to do? The Lord's deserted me. Because she did have that strong faith, and she never sinned. So she never had the experience that so many of us have had when we commit a big sin and we think, I feel horrible. I feel so alone. I let the Lord down. So in his mercy, God is giving her a chance to feel this. And one of the titles of the Blessed Mother is Refuge of Sinners. She now knows what it's like to feel that separation from Jesus. So here they go back to Jerusalem, and after 3 days, they found him in the temple, sitting among the teachers, listening to them and asking them questions. And all who heard him were amazed at his understanding and his answers. And when they saw him, they were astonished. And his mother said to him, now here we go with another one of Mary's spoken messages. After finding Jesus, missing for 3 days, find him in the temple. You know what you would say, and I know what I would say, but let's look at what Mary said. Mary said this, Son, why have you treated us so? Behold, your father and I have been looking for you anxiously. Now again, I want you to understand something. When you read these words, Son, why have you treated us so? What you can glean from this is the fact that Mary didn't know why Jesus stayed behind. She didn't understand this. So if you feel lost, I want you to take comfort in the fact that Mary knows what that's like. She knows what you're going through. But she also knows what it's like, or how she should handle this. Because by faith, she knows that there is a bigger picture, and she wants to know why this happened. The same thing that we saw when Mary said in her first recorded words in the Bible, how can this be since I have no husband? She's asking a question. Son, why have you treated us so? Behold, your father and I have been looking for you what? Anxiously. Mary knows what it's like to be anxious about the loss of her son. Not because she doesn't trust God, but because she's humble, and she wanted to make sure she didn't do anything. And again, that idea, that anxiously looking for the Lord. I make the point in my book, when you were a child, I know when I was a child, we would anxiously look forward to Christmas. It wasn't a bad thing. It wasn't an anxiety that would make me sick, but I was anxiously anticipating Christmas Day because I knew it was so special. Mary and Joseph anxiously awaited being reunited with their son. And take note here, Joseph didn't speak, Mary spoke. And if Joseph did say anything, it wasn't recorded in the Bible. So God wants you to hear these words of Mary. It gives you a great insight into what she's thinking. And then Jesus responds by saying, "How is it that you sought me? Did you not know that I must be in my Father's house?" Powerful, isn't it? How is it that you sought me? Did you not know that I must be in my Father's house? Did those words sting a little bit? Probably. They probably did. Can you imagine what Joseph was thinking at this point? He knew that he was the foster father of Jesus, but those words had hurt a little bit. But Joseph was a righteous man. Joseph sought holiness. Joseph always sought to do the right thing. So he didn't come back at Jesus. And neither did the Blessed Mother. And you might say, well, they fully understood this. That's why there was nothing else to say. Well, that's not what the Bible says. Luke 2:50. "And they did not understand the saying which he spoke to them." They didn't understand the words that Jesus just spoke. Now, you and I, there are many things we don't understand. You might be confused about a sickness, about a problem with a relative, about a problem with your spouse, about a financial problem in your life. Why is God allowing this to happen to me? Mary understood. Mary knows what it's like to be confused. But she's going to give us an example. And this is what we need to understand. Mary gives us an example of how to handle the confusion. We don't just worry about it. We don't just lash out at God. There's something we can do. They didn't understand the saying which he spoke to them. "And he went down with them and came to Nazareth." Okay, here we go. Jesus, 12 years old, the Savior, the Son of God, divine, a divine person, submitted himself to the authority of Mary at this point and went back with Mary and Joseph to Nazareth. Your goal in life as a Christian is to imitate Christ. That's a fact. That's what we're all trying to do, to imitate Christ. What did Jesus do here? He submitted himself to Mary because that's what he was supposed to do at that moment in time. Through total consecration, what are we doing? Mary, take over. I trust you, Mary. You know what? Jesus trusted you, so I'm going to trust you too, because I'm just not getting it done by myself. You see what's happening here? Jesus is submitting to the authority of his parents at this point. And furthermore, they didn't understand the saying. Jesus was obedient to them, and what happened? And his mother kept all these things in her heart. We're told elsewhere that Mary pondered things in her heart. She's discerning. She's meditating. She's doing what we are all called to do. When you don't understand something in your life, you need to be talking to the Lord and saying, "Lord, help me to know what it is that you're trying to teach me. I know, Lord, that you love me. I know by faith that you're all powerful. I know that you only want what's best for me, but I don't know why you're having me go through this. I don't know why you're not answering my prayers. I don't know why I don't feel anything when I pray. I don't know this or that or so many other things. I don't know, but Lord, I know there's an answer. I know you know. Can you tell me? Can you tell me if you are trying to teach me something?" And you know what? Sometimes he's going to give you an answer. That answer might not come immediately. That answer might take time. Sometimes he's going to say, "You just need to trust me. You just need to trust me." Mary was okay walking by faith. Are you okay walking by faith? Or do you need to know the answers? Do you need Jesus to explain every last detail to you before you follow him? Now, if you're like me, when you listen to these questions, and look, I'm challenging you here. This is tough, but I'm really using Mary's words and her actions to challenge you. That's what I'm doing right now, because I want to challenge you. I want to stretch you. I want you to realize that walking by faith is not always easy, because we're used to believing what we see. We trust our eyes. We trust other people. We trust the world. We trust the airplane pilot when we get on a plane. We trust the bus driver, right? We trust all these people when we go and order a meal in a restaurant. We trust that we're not being poisoned. We trust so many people in life, but yet we don't trust God. That's a real problem, isn't it? Now, remember what we're doing here. We're just recognizing that we have all these problems. Look at your life. Look at how many times you're worried about things. Look at how many times you don't trust God. I'm with you. I struggle with this too. We need help. And when we look at Mary, we look at how she handled a very uncertain future. We look at what she was given. I don't think we would do as well as she did. She handled it by asking questions, by pondering things in her heart, and by walking by faith. We're going to be turning to her on October the 7th and saying, Mary, I can't do this. I've failed so many times. I sin when I don't want to sin. I worry when I want to trust. I just don't do this. It's not working for me. But I really, really, really want to become a saint. I love the Lord. I want to please him, and I want to make it to heaven. Will you help me? I'm going to trust you, Mom, Mommy, Mama, whatever you want to call her. She's real, and she's your mother, and she wants to help you. And Jesus wants you to turn to her. We'll talk more about this in the days to come. He wants you to turn to her. She is not going to take you away from Jesus. She not only loves Jesus, but she loves you too. And she wants you to get to heaven. In fact, she wants it more than you do. Because if you're like me, you're distracted. How many times today have you thought about the need for you to get to heaven? It's the whole reason you were created, but we get blindsided by problems. Worries about the future. Fears about the past. We turn on TV. We look at the internet. The world is a mess. We become distracted. We run around. We become distracted. Mary is not distracted. She's focused right now. She's focused on your salvation. And the beautiful thing about this whole process is the Lord's not saying, hey, if you want to get to heaven, you just got to work harder. Work hard. Come on. It's all up to you. It's not all up to you. Sure, you have to work hard. You have to do the best you can. But you're not going to do it without help. So let's continue to recognize that. And remember that on October the 7th, there's going to be a big change when we consecrate our lives to Jesus through Mary. Let's close with our prayer, Jesus living in Mary. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. O Jesus, living in Mary, come and live in your servant, in the spirit of your holiness, in the fullness of your gifts, in the perfection of your ways, in the truth of your virtues, in the communion of your mysteries. Subdue within me the power of flesh and demon, by your Holy Spirit, for the glory of God the Father. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. All right, we did it. We made it through another day. Remember what I told you? Keep taking this one day at a time. Tomorrow, we enter into day 25. Then Thursday, it's day 26, and we wrap up the third portion of this preparation period. We wrap up the week devoted to looking at the life of the Blessed Mother. I really hope you're enjoying this. Again, let me know if I can help in any way. Gary@followingthetruth.com. Please remember to keep everyone who's making this devotion in your prayers. We need the prayers because we got a big job ahead of us. But with your prayers and the power of the Holy Spirit, we're going to get through this. Have a wonderful day. Thanks so much for tuning in. God bless you. And God willing, I'll see you tomorrow.